Further, this reading from the Old Testament is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1-6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. But darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our gospel reading today is from the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. For the gospel of the Lord.
There they are, three kings. Were they kings? It's not what the reading said. Called them magi. Yeah. So they're wise men. Were there three of them? We don't know. There were three gifts that are mentioned. But according to the Orthodox Church, there were 12 magi. So, how many were there? How long is a piece of string? Got no idea. There are at least three of them to present three gifts, but there were probably more than that. And they wouldn't have travelled alone. So they would have had a whole entourage of people, and they probably weren't on camels. Sorry to disappoint you, but they were probably Persian, and the Persians used horses. So there's a few things about this which we've sort of taken and turned into what we want them to be. And that's what happens sometimes when something captures the imagination and we play with it. And after all, it has been 2,000 years since they turned up. A little bit more than that, actually, but we won't get into that. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. So since we don't know what they look like, and since we don't know how many there are, and since we don't even know what the star looked like, we have a blank canvas to work with. So what I think would be really good this morning is if I can have an interpretation of what you think the wise men really might have looked like. If you want to draw me some pictures of wise men, and if you're not into drawing wise men, you can draw the star, because stars are really cool to draw and really easy. And because I would love to see what you think they might have looked like, because we've got outlines here and they do that on purpose because we don't know what they look like, and I love that. So we've only got a couple of our kids here today. We'll see whether they want to draw me anything. You going to draw me something? Go for it. Tables there, papers there. Let's see what we get. Oop, that round there so I don't lose it. Right. So why is this a feast? Is the first question. And why would I play with the way that things work in the Anglican Church, where they like to do things according to order and tradition, and decide that today we would do Epiphany anyway? Well, there are 12 days of Christmas. You know, the 12 days of Christmas, it's not just a song. There are actually 12 days of the Christmas season. And the 12 days of the Christmas season go from the 25th of December, of course, to the 6th of January. The 6th of January is the last day of the Christmas season, and we call it Epiphany. And an epiphany is an appearing and a manifestation of the power of God, or indeed a manifestation which gives us a realization of something which is greater than ourselves, is the basic dictionary definition. But the word really has referred over the centuries to this moment in time when the Son of God is made manifest to people who are not Jewish. One of the things about this is anybody here got Jewish blood in them? Kev's got some. Anybody else? No? So Kevin's the only person who has that blood in him. So in the time before Jesus came, Kevin would be the only person who'd be able to be in worship because he's got Jewish blood. And we would be kept out of the temple in the court of the Gentiles, which you couldn't get into anyway because it was full of tables for trading. That's why Jesus threw people out of it. The rest of us are here and able to be here because Jesus changed who could come. Now, God always wanted the nations. That's in Isaiah, isn't it? We read it today. God was always God of the nations, not just of the Jewish people. He says, nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your dawn. He's talking to the people of Israel, and he's talking through Isaiah to the people who are the exiles, who are in exile, and they're in a place called Babylon. Babylon is modern-day Iran or Persia. And they are there waiting to return, be able to go home, home to Jerusalem, home to their country. And Isaiah speaks to them these words from God to tell them that there is something greater coming. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people, but the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear over you. Now, when we think about Christmas, we don't think about Jesus' time being very dark, do we? We don't really think about that. But if you think about time historically, the Romans were in charge. The Romans were cruel, very cruel people. they did great things. They built aqueducts and organised so that people had sanitation and all those things, but they were very cruel people. And they weren't the only people in charge. We had this bloke, King Herod. Now, King Herod, this is Herod the Great. He's not really the king. He's not actually Jewish. But the Romans put him in there. King Herod the Great had some lineage that he could call on, but he actually didn't have a place as a king. He was not from David's line, but the Romans thought he'd be good in that spot. So they put him in there. And you know what happens when people get power who don't deserve the power? They usually abuse it, don't they? So Herod the Great, he was a very cruel man. He was so known for his cruelty that nobody would have turned an eyebrow at the day when he sent his troops to Bethlehem to kill the children. They just wouldn't have thought about it because he was doing that all the time. He would do that all the time. He was nasty. And, you know, people hated him so much that he had a son, Herod the Tetrarch, which we know about him. He's the King Herod of Jesus' time at the cross. That's King Herod the Great's son. So there were two Herods. This is why we get confused sometimes. Two Herods. So King Herod the Great's son, Herod the Tetrarch, he's the one who's there when Jesus dies on the cross. He's the one who is there at that time. When he died, the people pulled down Herod the Great's tomb. They waited till his son had gone because they knew his son wouldn't be happy. The people hated Herod the Great so much, they actually pulled down his tomb and hid every single sign that he ever existed in that place. This is not a man people like. This is not a man people were happy with. This is a man who is really nasty. When we recognize that, it makes so much more sense what he did, because we realize that he came from that space and he was like that anyway. And that is why I think that when these magi came with their entourage on their horses from Persia and turn up looking for the king of the Jews, if Herod's afraid, everybody's afraid. Because what is he going to do? So it's important to see this. This is darkness. This is not living in a place where everything's lovely and the baby comes and it's all gorgeous and the light shines and it's beautiful. It's not like that in that day, actually. It was pretty hard. It's more like living under a dictatorship where you can't speak the name of Jesus without getting put in jail. It's more like living in a place where you yourself are living in a complete darkness and something else has a hold of you and it won't let you go and you're locked up in that place. That's the sort of place that we're living in. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. God's word into that space. God's word into our space. God's word into today's space. How much darkness do we see today? God's word still the same. Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. What happened through Jesus is that indeed the nations did come to him. These men, these magi, from which we get the word magician, the magi read the stars. They were astrologers and astronomers. So astronomy is the study of the stars, and astronomy is a science. Astrology is the study of the stars to predict the future, because there's some sense, an idea that somehow the stars actually have some rule over us, which they don't. So astronomy is a science, good. Astrology is rubbish. Anyway, so don't read your horoscopes, folks. They're useless. But these men did both because of at the time, that's part of the wisdom of the way that they worked. And they were also people who tried to interpret dreams and who would advise the kings of the lands. Now, the Magi particularly lived in Persia. They were in Babylon, and they were there a long time before this. When the exile happened, where did the people of Jerusalem get carried away to? Babylon. Yeah, they got carried to Babylon. They got carried to where the Magi were. And Daniel, who is in the book of Daniel, Daniel from the book of Daniel, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, etc., that Daniel was described as one of the wise men, the Magi, because he grew up in that place. He was a young man when he was taken out, and he grew up in that place, and he began to learn their ways, and he was a Magi. Now, connect some dots. Daniel carries Isaiah's words. Daniel knows that the people will be returned because he has both Isaiah and Jeremiah's words, which said that the people would return, God would return them to their homeland. He has those words. He also has Isaiah's words talking about a servant who would come, who would be God's servant, who would suffer, one who would be born king. All of those things we read during Christmas, about the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel. Daniel had those words. The Magi, years later, we're talking 500 years later, the Magi, 500 years later, would still have known what they had learned from Daniel. And indeed, in Babylon, there were still Jewish people living there because not everybody came back. These men know the story. They're looking for the king that they have heard about, who is the king of the Jews. And we think, how on earth would they know that? They know it because that's where Daniel was, in the midst of the Magi, as one of them. They know it, and they come in response to that word. See how God puts stuff together? But then they come. Now, this is conjecture, because it's not like the Bible tells us this, but it makes sense, doesn't it, that they were Magi, that Daniel was amongst them, that they would have known the story. So that's why they were looking for him. And when they come to the king's place, because that's where you expect to find a king. Fair enough. But the Jewish people used to say, he's king who is not king. Notice that Matthew, when he talks about Herod, only calls him King Herod once to introduce who he is. And then after that, he just calls him Herod. Because he's a king who's not a king. And they come to him, because he wants to know where the Messiah is, because he wants to make sure that he gets rid of him before he grows up, finds out where Jesus was born. They go because they are looking for the one who truly is king, and they follow a star. Now, stars don't move unless they're a comet, and if they're a comet, they don't move around to stop over the top of something, do they? So the conclusion of many learned astronomers over the years is that either this is a comet, where there was one at around the time, which is around about 5 BC. There was one. It's a comet which God has made sure hovered where it needed to before it moved on, or it is actually simply a star which was put there by God for this purpose. I think I like the second explanation. But they come, and they come to a house, and they see a child, not to a stable where they see a baby. This is why we're 12 days after Christmas, because actually Jesus has started growing up by now. Mary and Joseph have moved into the house, and the word is the word for a small child, maybe a six-month-old, not the word for a babe. So Jesus is growing up a little, which explains why Herod's timing was the first 2 years. He's grown up a little. and they've come to him. And nevertheless, they find Mary, they find Jesus, and they worship. And what do they bring? They bring gold, they bring frankincense. Oh, look, Isaiah 60 said that, didn't it? They shall bring gold and frankincense, and they shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Love the way God does this. And they also brought myrrh, which, of course, gold is, of course, what you give a king. Frankincense is for worship. That's what they burned for incense in the temple. Myrrh is what you embalm a body with. So we've taken those three, and there's a whole lot of legend around it. But the bottom line is not all of that. The bottom line is that this is the very first time Jesus is revealed to people who have no business being there. People who are not Jewish, people who are not part of the people of God, Israel, they are not people who actually have access. And yet they come to Jesus as a child. They worship Jesus when the people of Judah have no idea. They worship Jesus when the king sits in his palace plotting to get rid of Jesus before he grows up and takes his throne from him. They worship Jesus. And this is the first moment when Gentiles truly, people who are not Jewish, truly understand that God has just done something amazing. This is the baby who will grow up, and he will become the man Jesus, and he will teach, he will preach, he will heal, but what he will do most of all is he will go to a cross and he will die for us. And when he dies and sheds his blood for us, at that moment, the temple curtain, which blocked off the place of worship, will get torn from top to bottom, and everything opens up, and we can be here. And we can worship him because of that. That's why we celebrate Epiphany.